Hey everyone, this is Brett Fish, and I just want to say thank you again for tuning in. I made this particular episode into a bonus episode because not everyone is into church, although I do think that most people have an opinion on church. And so I still think there's going to be a little bit for everyone, so I'd love for you to listen to this episode regardless of what you think about church. But if you are someone that specifically has thoughts on church, then I'm hoping that this is going to be helpful. I think most of us could agree, if we're honest, that if we took a look at the majority of church around the world, we could come to this conclusion that church is a hot mess. Yes, yes, hashtag not all churches, but enough of them that so many people, and I would say justifiably, think that church is a waste of time. It's hypocritical, it's irrelevant, it's judgmental, it's horrible. And when I think of church, this quote comes to mind. It's from a fourfold Franciscan blessing, and it goes like this. May God bless you with discomfort. Discomfort at easy answers, half-truths, and superficial relationships, so that you may live deep within your heart. May God bless you with anger. Anger at injustice, oppression, and exploitation of people, so that you may work for justice, freedom, and peace. May God bless you with tears. Tears to shed for those who suffer from pain, rejection, starvation, and war, so that you may reach out with your hand to comfort them and turn their pain into joy. And may God bless you with foolishness. Enough foolishness to believe that you can make a difference in this world so that you can do what others claim cannot be done. And then I'm also reminded of a second quote that has been attributed to different people, Brennan Manning, Billy Graham, but it goes like this. The greatest single cause of atheism in the world today is Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips and then walk out of the door and deny him by their lifestyle. That is what an unbelieving world simply finds unbelievable. And so we're going to dig a little bit into church in this episode, and whether you are a fan of church or whether church is not something that you're interested in, or maybe you've been hurt by church or confused by church or any of that, I hope that some of the questions we look at, some of the things we talk about are going to be helpful for you in an episode that I call...
Bonus episode. What if the church left the building?
I think there's one thing that I really want people to have clear, and that is that I love church. I love the idea of church. I love the potential and the possibility of church. And a lot of people will quickly and easily, I think, go, Brett hates church. Here he is again throwing stones at church. But the reason that I care so much to make a whole episode around this, the reason that in 2015 I wrote the book I, Church, is because I love Jesus. And I try to be a follower of Jesus. And Jesus said that church is the way to go. Jesus said the church is what he is going to use to change and transform the world. Church is this idea of the body of Christ, as if Jesus was still around doing the things, saying the things, treating the people that in the way that he used to do it. Church is meant to be this ambassador that continues the work and the presence and the life of Jesus. And so I love that. I don't love what it's become sometimes. I don't love when it gets it wrong, when it's hypocritical, judgmental, all those kind of things, and the mess of politics and people and power and all those kind of things where we can look at church and go, that's not like what Jesus wanted. But Jesus spoke this. He said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not push against it. And that sounds exciting. That sounds like the kind of church that I'm for. And so that's the idea that I want to explore. If the church left the building, what if we became this idea of church that Jesus was all about? And you'll probably find that in every church in the world, there are glimpses of that, some more than others. But where are we getting it wrong? Where are we missing the mark? Let's be open. Let's be honest. Let's ask the right questions. And let's really be hungry to become the thing that Jesus wanted us to be. And so I hope this conversation is going to be helpful. I hope it will be a conversation. I hope you'll be speaking to your friends who go to church, who are parts of church, and asking them about the things that you hear about now, discussing these things further with your family, with your friends. And so when I wrote iChurch in 2015, the heart of that book was this idea that I am the church. Church is not a place, it's not a time, it's not a thing. It is the people of God collectively together doing the things of God. Because if I say church to someone, most of you will think of that place on a Sunday that meets between that certain time with those people. I am going to church, that idea. And I want to suggest that it's something different. One of the analogies, and some of the stuff that I'm going to be using, or a lot of the stuff that I'm going to use in this episode, is going to be stuff that I spoke about in my book, because that is where I kind of constructed a lot of my thoughts around church, and a lot of that is still ongoing. And so if you have read the book, which most of you have not, you might notice some familiar things. One of those things is this amazing analogy I came across of the Lifeguard Center. And those people growing up my age will remember this show Baywatch, which I never watched. I think I watched one episode of it, but everyone had an idea of what Baywatch was about. David Hasselhoff, Pamela Anderson, lifeguards running in slow motion across the beach. And in that, there's this idea of a lifeguard center in the middle of a beach. And it would be incredibly weird and strange and ridiculous if somebody was drowning in the ocean and they were calling out, help, help. And one of the lifeguards stood at the edge of the lifeguard center and got his loudhailer and screamed through it, come here and we will help you. Like, that would be nuts, right? What happens? Someone screams, people leave the lifeguard center and go running and dive into the water and go rescue the person that's drowning. And church often operates, I think, like that ridiculous lifeguard center that I spoke about in the first place, where the focus is about getting people into the lifeguard center. Now, if we for a moment can imagine, I'm not a beach person particularly, but if we imagine this idea of a lifeguard center, what might the purpose of that place be? What is it about? And I would imagine it's a place where all the lifeguards meet together to be encouraged, to get some community vibe. They meet to be instructed about who's going where. So you're going to be riding the motorbike, you're going to be sitting on the high chair, you guys are going to be running in slow motion down the beach or whatever. So you get your duties, you get told where you're going to go so that everyone can be looked out for. It might be a place where you sing lifeguard songs to build some energy and spirit amongst you before you go out. It might be a place where you get your sustenance, you have a bite to eat, you have a snack, you get ready for the day, you grab your equipment, everything that you're going to need out there. And everything that happens in the lifeguard center is for the purpose of going out and protecting those on the beach and saving those in the water that are in trouble. And so that analogy for me really unpacked this idea of church, that this place where people go typically once a week or maybe more times a week to hang out and sing songs and listen to preaching and do some rituals that may be strange to people on the outside, all of that should be for the purpose of what happens when we leave the door. And that earlier quote we heard is people doing all this amazing stuff in the building and then walking out the door and denying it by their lifestyles. And yet it should be the opposite of that. If what's happening in church, in your church gathering on a Sunday, is not informing how you live the rest of your life, how you spend your money, how you treat people, how you look out for the marginalized, all those kind of things, then we are just wasting time at a club. We're just wasting time feeling good and then going out and doing different stuff. But the essence of what happens on a Sunday, if that's when we meet, should be strengthening us and encouraging us and building some group spirit so that we can go out and be the church. What if the church left the building? This other analogy that is one of the times in my life, and this doesn't happen a lot, but one of the times in my life when I really felt like God spoke to me directly, the most kind of loud, clear time that God spoke to me, like specifically, and I get reminded of this by my friend Sam, because she was there and she's visibly sore, and she was like, I know that's what happened in that moment. But it was at New Song Festival, which was this Christian music festival that I was helping run for the last 2 years. And I was doing a talk. And in that talk, I used an analogy that had been used 1,000 times. And you've probably heard it before. And as I was speaking it out, there was this sense that God just gave me this little piece, this little kind of extra piece right at the end, which I've used ever since because it really brings the analogy to life. And the analogy itself is a little bit cheesy, but it does make a point. And so for those of you that may not have heard it, it's about a little boy on a beach. And this beach has got hundreds and thousands of starfish that have been washed up on the shore. And the tide has gone out, and so these starfish are starting to bake in the sun, and they're busy dying. And this old man is busy walking along the beach, and he looks down, he sees this young kid, this little boy, pick up a starfish and throw it into the sea. And then the kid bends down again, picks up another starfish and throws it into the sea. And the old man watches this kid for maybe half an hour, and eventually he can't take it anymore. He goes up to the boy and he goes, "What are you doing?" And the boy says, "I'm saving these starfish." And the old man kind of points down the beach. Hundreds and thousands, maybe millions of starfish are dying. And he looks at the kid and he says, "What difference are you going to make?" And this is usually when the music starts cueing in, cheesy music just to get people in the mode. And this pivotal moment where the kid bends down and picks up another starfish and looks at the man. He says, "I'm making a difference to this one." And then he throws it into the ocean and bends down and picks up another one. "I'm making a difference to this one." And so it is a little bit cheesy, but it is also a powerful analogy of the difference we are called to make. And as I was speaking that out at this festival, I had this strong sense from God just saying, "Hey, here's another little piece." And I looked out at the audience and I was deeply moved because this really felt like the Spirit of God is on me kind of thing. And the following up question is this: what if all of the people who were meant to be on the beach were on the beach? Because one kid throwing starfish back into the water is not making a big difference. And I've always hated it when the church has made this line of, if only one person gets saved, if only one person gets touched or changed, we've made a difference. And yes, while that is true, we should be wanting to make a difference to all of the people. We should be wanting to see communities and countries transformed. We should have a bigger view of a God that we believe spoke a universe into being and still takes part in our lives and has chosen us to be his hands and feet in a world. We should be hoping and imagining for greater things and being part of greater things. What if 100,000 people were on the beach picking up one starfish at a time, throwing it into the ocean? And so that really fueled the question for me. What if the church left the building? Because too many people are part of a church meeting or gathering on a Sunday, but then they leave the building and they look just like everyone else. They spend money on the same kinds of things. They have the same negative attitudes. They are greedy and selfish and don't make a difference. What if every single person that was part of a church was also living their life in a way that followed Jesus, that sought to love God with all heart, soul, strength, and mind, but sought to love their neighbor as themselves? Then suddenly, that's the kind of church that when I hear about it, when I dream about it, when I think about it, that is the kind of church I want to be a part of. A church that isn't kind of lagging in the background, but it is at the forefront of justice issues. A church that is seen to be inclusive and welcoming of all people and trying to figure out all the complexities of the world and people and identity and all of that later, but being known by the love that we have for each other. That's what Jesus said to his disciples. You will be known by the love that you have for each other. And so one of the things when I used to preach about church, there's a Fall Out Boy song that I used to use the tune of, "This Ain't a Scene." And I used to get the churches to sing this, and this used to be cheesy as well on camps or whatever, but just to try and get this idea stuck into the minds of people that church is the people, it is not the place. Church is the people, it is not the place. And then I'd get people singing, and it would hopefully become an earworm and stick with you throughout the day, that church is the people, it is not the place. I can only imagine if you went to the disciples that were following Jesus and said, "Hey, are you coming to church on Sunday?" They would be, "What are you talking about? What do you mean?" They wouldn't have an understanding or a concept of this idea of church as something you go to, because Jesus educated them that they were the church. And so everywhere that they go, church goes. Imagine that we can take church with us. Everywhere that we go, church goes, because we are the people of God collectively doing the things of God. And so that for me becomes an exciting thing. A church that only meets once a week is not exciting to me. A church that is active 7 days a week, 24/7, that is actively trying to figure out how we spend our money and how we get involved in justice and how do we reach the marginalized and how do we work against racism and against the treatment, the negative treatment of women. Like, that is a church that I want to be part of. A church that wrestles with the complex issues. At the moment, you think of things like Israel and Palestine and how the world is trying to figure those things out, and how that there are wrong things on both sides and there are people, innocent people getting hurt on both sides. And we look at it and we go, it's complicated and messy, and most people step away because you have an opinion either way and you get into trouble. I want to be part of a church that says it's complicated and it's messy and we don't know the answers, but we are going to lean in and we are going to pray and we are going to get invested with our money and our time and our skills, and we are going to be part of the solution. That is the kind of church that I want to be part of. And I've been part of churches that are like that. Different churches at different times, and some of them lost their way. And often there's that saying, don't go into the perfect church because you'll ruin it by your presence. That because churches are made up of people, they will get it wrong. And if there's one thing that the church really needs to do, it needs to become more honest and open about our mistakes, about when we get it wrong, owning it and not covering it up. Owning that we are messy, that we are made up of broken people just trying to be healed, just trying to follow Jesus, and become a church that is a bruised and broken healer to the people around it. In Acts 2, there's this beautiful picture of church, and that really changed my life, reading that. I remember living in Stellenbosch. I was living on the back of someone's house, and I didn't really have community. I didn't know anyone around me, and I was reading a book called The Irresistible Revolution by Shane Claiborne, and they were talking about intentional community, of going to live in community. And then I read the Acts 2 church that talks about them meeting every day, both in the synagogues and at their homes, and breaking bread together. And they're just doing the business of church. They're eating together. They're speaking together. They're wrestling with different ideas of church. And at the end of that whole passage, it says daily people were being added to their number every day. Because people were looking at the way they lived and they were seeing the significance of it. They were seeing the impact that it had on the poor, on widows, on orphans, and saying, I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of that. And that is the church that I'm calling us to, an organization, a movement of people that when we leave, people sense the fragrance of Jesus. People sense that there's been change, that there's been transformation, that good things have happened in this place. Not a place that people just associate with judgment or hypocrisy or things like that. The church has often been a place where we can't ask questions. We can't challenge. We can't challenge things that are said from the front. We can't challenge why it feels weird that only men are in control, or only certain people are allowed in the church and certain people are kept away and things like that. And yet we are told to love God with all of our mind. One of the commands, one of the parts of the greatest command that Jesus issues is love the Lord your God with all your mind. We have to use our minds. We have to ask questions. We have to challenge critically. We don't need to become critical, because that's different. There are people that just criticize the whole time, and that's not what we're being called to. But we're being called to ask good questions. Do we look like Jesus? Do we sound like Jesus? Does this feel like the kingdom of God that Jesus came to bring about? Are we challenging the kind of things that Jesus challenged in the religious leaders, in those who said one thing and did another thing, in those who put heavy burdens upon the poor? The church is often not a place of inclusion. And yet, if you think of the story of Jesus and the woman who's caught in sin, like she's brought before him, and the people bringing her are trying to trap Jesus, they're trying to humiliate this woman. And yet Jesus' message to her is, are you condemned? I don't condemn you. And at the same time, his message when she leaves is go and sin no more. And so it's this joint thing. It's not inclusion as you are, and not a call to change and become the kind of person that God wants you to be. It's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to involve, hopefully, things like accountability and mentoring and discipleship, where iron sharpens iron, where together we become more and more like the kind of people that God wants us to be. But there's this thing of, I don't condemn you. Everybody should be welcome and included. Everybody comes close. And we see that in Jesus' life. He brings the woman to the front. He brings the children to the front. He brings the lepers to the front. He goes to seek out the Samaritans, people that were pushed to the edges. Jesus is constantly finding them and inviting them closer. But he's also giving the message, go and sin no more. Sort out the stuff that God has put conviction in your heart about and become more like me. Become more like somebody who reflects the glory and beauty and holiness of God. The Acts 2 church, another thing I like about that passage is that they met in synagogues and they met in homes. So this thing does give space for that Sunday meeting in that place, the church building, the idea of us gathering together in church. But it also says that this church stuff needs to happen in homes, around dinner tables, around briars, around coffee conversations. Is it happening wherever you are? What if the church left the building and continued to be the church? And then the church is often not a place of justice. There was a pastor in Cape Town a couple of years ago, and I challenged him on social media, and it got pretty ugly. But he basically made a statement about the gospel and then had this kind of like PS, oh, and the poor. So Christians, you are all about the gospel, this idea of the gospel, whatever that means, and the poor. So the poor was seen as this optional extra that you can do if you have extra time. And yet when I look at Jesus, when I look at the Bible, when I read the Bible, justice is something that is forefront. Things that churches often make priority, things like sexuality, often have a lot less space in the Bible. And that's not to say they're not important and that we don't need to wrestle with them or things like that. But justice, from day one in the Bible all the way through the story, we see stories of justice. And we see Jesus summing it up as love your neighbor as yourself, because it's impossible to love your neighbor as yourself and turn a blind eye on racism. It's impossible to love your neighbor as yourself and be okay that women are treated as inferior to men in this country and around the world. It's impossible to love your neighbor as yourself and not do the work of dismantling injustice that continues to hurt and divide and kill. And so the call of Jesus, the most important commandment, is this call to justice. And he backs it up in the story of the sheep and goats in Matthew 25. If anyone is hungry, give them something to eat. If anyone is thirsty, give them something to drink. If somebody is naked, clothe them. If they're in hospital or prison, go and visit them. And around that story is this idea of one group that makes it and one group that doesn't make it. This idea of eternal judgment. And the call of Jesus was to reach out to the marginalized, to reach out to those in need. And maybe those in need back then are different to those in need back now. There's a lot of overlap. But refugees and people living on the streets and people in South Africa from other countries of Africa, there's all of these other different categories of people who are seen on the fringes or seen as less than or pushed to the side or seen as threats. And Jesus' command is love your neighbor as you love yourself. There was a guy called Ron Sider in America who, I think in the 60s, later on he wrote this book called Rich Christians in an Age of Hunger, which has been a phenomenally transformational book to a lot of people. But one thing that he did when he was at university was he took a pair of scissors and he took the Bible, and this is going to freak out a lot of traditional people, but he cut out every reference in the Bible to justice. Anything in the Bible that spoke about justice or needing to have justice, he literally cut it out of the Bible. And what he was left with was tatters. Like there was no Bible left. There's so much mention of justice in the Bible that if you ignore it or if you cut it out, there's no Bible left. Whereas there are many other things that we major about, where if you cut all the verses about them out of the Bible, there'd be a whole bunch of Bibles still left. And so what that speaks to is the priority that God puts on justice from Old Testament to New, that love your neighbor as yourself is so key and so important as part of the mission. Who is the church? The church is people that love their neighbors as they love themselves. And alongside that, the church is people that love God with all their heart, soul, strength, and mind. And so it is key that we cannot avoid justice, that we cannot become about the noise and the sounds and the power and who's speaking and all that kind of thing. As church, we are called to leave the building and be strengthened, just like with that lifeguard center, all the things that you did in the building to learn and grow and wrestle and all that kind of thing. Take those out into the world and use them with your colleagues, with your families, in your communities, where you volunteer, where you help out, where you play sport. Be the church. Let the church show up everywhere that you as a follower of Jesus chooses to show up, because you are the church. Church is the people, not the place. And so stop going to church, because that would confuse the disciples. Stop going to church and be the church. Be the church, the body of Christ, acting and sounding and thinking like Jesus would if he was physically present today, because that is the call on our lives, and that is the kind of church that I want to be a part of. And let me remind you of this fourfold blessing that I started this episode with, and let us be this kind of church. May God bless you with discomfort. Discomfort at easy answers, half-truths, and superficial relationships, so that you may live deep within your heart. May God bless you with anger at injustice, oppression, and exploitation of people, so that you may work for justice, freedom, and peace. May God bless you with tears to shed for those who suffer from pain, rejection, starvation, and war, so that you may reach out with your hand to comfort them and turn their pain into joy. And may God bless you with foolishness, enough foolishness to believe that you can make a difference in this world, so that you can do what others claim cannot be done. What if the church left the building? I hope that there's been some thought in there that has inspired you, has got you excited, has got you thinking that actually church is a thing you're excited about and is a thing you want to be part of. And if you've been looking around for a church to be part of, many people get burnt or hurt or alienated or whatever, and you feel like church is not for you, then I want to encourage you to start with one or two people. Just start gathering, because that is the key essence, is that it is about gathering with other people that follow Jesus, that are really looking to live like him. And maybe you find at some stage that your little gathering of people becomes a home church or becomes a community where other people might be drawn in. But as a group, as a community, you find that by meeting together, you get strengthened, you get wiser, you get creative about being the church in your daily life. So if you feel that churches that you've tried to step into haven't been your thing, I believe there are churches doing some incredible, amazing things. And maybe the confusing part is there are churches that are doing incredible things and awful things all at the same time, because they're made up of people. So don't give up on the church. Church is God's idea. And ask God to lead you to a space of church or to be part of creating a gathering of your own. But we were never called to be living out this Jesus following things by ourselves as individuals. We are called to community. And the way I define church is God's people collectively doing the things of God together. So there's a need for us to be alongside other people. It doesn't have to look like the traditional thing. It can. And there's a wide range. Every different kind of denomination and aspect of church has different glimpses of beautiful things that point us towards God and being more like God and being better people in the world. And so we can learn from a variety of spaces. No church has kind of the blueprint of perfect church, unfortunately. But visit other churches. Get an idea of how people do things differently. Ask your friends where they feel comfortable, what church gatherings they're part of, and go and find some places and check them out. If you found this helpful, if you found any of this good, then I want to encourage you to share it with people you know, especially people that are part of churches, people that are leading churches. You can let them listen to it and tell you what they disagree with. If there's anything they think I've said that's wrong, if there's anything they want to challenge or push back or whatever. Let's get conversation happening, because we are called to be church. We are called to be the difference in the world around us, and I wish that for you. Thank you so much for listening. Please check out the rest of my podcast if you haven't. Season 4 is on the go, but there's a lot of exciting episodes in the first 3 seasons if you've missed them. And have yourself an amazing day. From me, Brett Fish, cheers. Thank you.